Can you imagine a life where despair just rules over you like a tyrant, where hope is so far down the road that you can no longer see it? Can you imagine a world where the sun has just stopped shining? Or even when it does shine, it just doesn't matter to you? Can you imagine living in a world of emotional darkness, where the joys of life just aren't enjoyed, and where the laughter of life seems just to mock you? Welcome to the world of depression, a world that nearly 1 out of 6 of us will suffer during the course of our lifetime. If you or a loved one has ever suffered from a major depressive illness, please stay with us. We're going to take a look at this together tonight. This is a very important topic. God is looking for people who will say yes to Him and ignite the flames of revival in our time. This is Dr. Doug Cowan, Director of Ministry here at Life FM, with some thoughts on the power of one defining moment. When Pastor Seth Johnson prayed, "Oh God, bend the church and save the world," it set the stage for the third Welsh revival to break out and then spill over into Scotland and England. Over 100,000 souls were saved in Wales and over 1 million in England during the following 2 years of revival. And this is the power of one defining moment.
Hi, this is Tim, and two of my favorite songs are "You Have Won Me" and "Hold On" by my friends Jared and the Gospel Whiskey Runners.
Worthy of glory and praise. his heart of stone. Breathe new life into these bones. Call me lovely, call me true. You make me lovely just like you. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Love will come.
From everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You give life to everything. All life comes from you. You're the one who has made the heavens, the highest heaven, and all their host, the earth and all which is in it, the seas and all that is in them. And you give all of them life. The angels of heaven bow down and worship you. And you have performed your words. You have kept all of your promises, for you are righteous. Amen.
All condemned
I'm going to ask that you would join me in prayer for a number of ministries that are right here local that impact our sons and daughters, our neighbors, our friends. We want to pray for all of the Vacation Bible Schools that are happening through the summer around Bakersfield and all of the lives that they will impact, all of the children that they will share the gospel with who might not otherwise hear the gospel. We want to pray for those Vacation Bible Schools. We want to pray also for ministries like the ministry up at Hume Lake. This summer, Hume Lake will have about 10,000 high school students come up there to the camp to hear the gospel, to be challenged to follow Jesus. And there will be, I don't know how many thousands of junior high kids that'll be there also. Many people will hear the gospel really for the first time, and many of these young people will follow Jesus 100% because of the ministry of this camp. So we want to be praying for them up there at Hume Lake. We want to pray for the pastors and the staff at our own churches, the local churches right here in Bakersfield, right here in Kern County, and for the marriages and the families in Bakersfield, that God would strengthen them and draw their hearts closer and closer to His. And please, would you pray with us for the ministry of KAXL? Every day we really reach thousands of people with the ministry of the station, through good music, through entertaining talk, but with the message of Jesus Christ, with the message of the gospel. People through Christian radio get to hear the gospel who might not otherwise hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you would pray for our ministry as well, that would be great. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we do come before you because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the maker of heaven and earth and all that is in them. And yes, the angels of heaven bow down and worship you. And you say that we can come boldly into your throne room of grace because we are your sons and daughters. And so we do come in to your throne room of grace. With these requests, we ask, please, would you bless the work of the Vacation Bible Schools around Bakersfield, around Kern County? Would you prosper the work of their hands as they share the gospel with young people, with children who might not otherwise ever hear the gospel? Please, would your Holy Spirit be there and active, changing lives, changing destinies through these ministries? And Father, we also pray for this ministry up at Hume Lake all through the summer, where thousands of junior high and high school kids will be up there listening to the speakers, hearing from the counselors, and being challenged with the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of all of those young people and that they would follow you with both feet, with all of their hearts, that this would be a summer of destiny for hundreds and maybe thousands of high school and junior high school kids. We pray for the pastors and the staff at our own churches. We know the stresses that they're under. And we know, Lord, that they have been called by you to serve you in this capacity. And so we pray for them. Draw their hearts closer and closer to yours. So when they speak, they're speaking your words. And when they pray, they're praying through your Holy Spirit what you would have them to pray for. And when they teach, they would be using your wisdom to communicate your word to us. Father, strengthen them. And we pray for the marriages and for the families right here in Bakersfield. We ask, Father, that you would protect them from the evil one, that you would protect them from our own flaws and pride and whatever else we carry, that you would protect our marriages and draw our hearts closer and closer to our spouse, that you would protect our families and strengthen our families, that they would be a blessing not just to everybody in the family, but even to our neighbors. Father, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Depression. Everybody's got some thought about that word, what depression is, what it means. Depression. We all get depressed sometimes. There are always things that happen in our life that really bum us out. They make us very sad. And we go into this thing we call depression, then we come back out of it. But some people, we have to understand this, some people suffer from a depression at levels that other people will never understand, that maybe you will never understand. Depression is a crippling illness for some people. It is pervasive. It's the worst disease you can ever get. Why is that? You know, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, sometimes you will hear people say that they were blessed to get a disease like cancer. And what they mean by that is that during the time when they were fighting their cancer, they saw colors more vividly. They loved their families more deeply. And they discovered God in ways they had never before known Him. And so in some way like that, you will hear people talk about how grateful they were that they had gotten an illness. But in depression, it's the worst illness you'll ever get because there is nothing that they like about it. In fact, they can't even feel pleasure. Please understand, depression is very painful for people. 15% of us in our lifetime will suffer from a major depressive episode. It's worldwide. It's the number four cause of disability on the planet, and it's growing every year. And there are parts of depression, different parts of it. And if you just think about one cause of depression or one part of depression, you'll miss the whole big picture. There are biological parts of depression. It is a medical condition. Think like diabetes, right? I mean, it's a medical condition. So there's that biological part of depression. There's also a psychological part of it, a soul, a mind part of it, from wounds that we have experienced in our life, a number of different places, but there is a psychological aspect to depression, and there's also a spiritual part to depression. And if we just think of just one of them, oh, it's just a spiritual condition. If he had enough faith, he could get through it. No, don't do that to people. Or, oh, it's just because their mom or dad were like this. Don't do that to people. Or it's just genetic, or it's just biochemical. It's not. It's all of these factors put together. And so, you know, see it as a whole picture and help to minister to people by looking at all of these different aspects of it. Now, you'll say, well, everybody, you know, goes through that. What's wrong with those people? But, you know, some people think like that. Well, we do have different types or expressions of this when it's brief sadness or brief frustration. When it's short term, we just call that an aversion. When it's temporary, it's longer, maybe a 6 months or a year from loss or grief, some event that happened in our life, we call that reactive depression. But when it's long term and it seems like there is no end, there is no light at the end of the tunnel, there is just darkness, we call that major depression. And again, major depression is a medical condition. So one of the things we know about major depression, it's biochemical. There are neurotransmitters involved. There are stress hormones involved. There may be other hormones like the thyroid hormone involved. Did you know that about 20% of all people diagnosed with major depression actually just have hypothyroidism? They don't have enough thyroid hormone. So if you know somebody who's depressed, you want to encourage them to go to a doctor, get their thyroid levels checked. But it is a medical biochemical disorder. There are also genetic components to it, but genetics don't make it happen. They just make it so it's easier for it to happen in some people than in others. And the influences of our early childhood also play a big role, as big a role as genetics. And the biggest thing about depression is it takes away our ability to experience pleasure. So imagine a life or a part of your life where you just could not experience pleasure no matter what it was. Sunshine, laughter, the birth of a child, seeing a kitten play with a ball of string, whatever it is, and you just can't enjoy it, now you're starting to get what depression is like for some people. Some other things that we commonly see when people have depression are, you know, people experiencing grief or guilt without really knowing why they're feeling guilt about that or grief about something. But it's really common. When you start seeing the worst in everything and negative thinking rules the day. Or self-injury, you know, people cutting on themselves, very, very often associated with depression, suicidal thoughts, suicide attempts. And did you know about 10% of all people who suffer from major depression will in fact commit suicide? So that's what makes this one of the most difficult of all illnesses that we want to treat. It's a major cause, suicide is a major cause of death among teenagers, and we need to take this all very, very seriously. We tend to see people talk about just not having any energy. They move slowly. Everything, every task is just too much for them to do. And they start to withdraw socially. They pull the curtains, turn down the lights, and just want to be alone. Very commonly, we see people wake up early. The normal sleep cycle, it just doesn't happen. People never really get into a deep sleep. They're up at 4 in the morning, start to pace around. Just this early waking is really common with depression. There's a decrease in appetite. You and I, if we're not depressed, if we're kind of, you know, going through the day, when something frustrating happens to us, we just want to go eat some carbohydrates. You know, give me some ice cream, give me some potato chips, and we'll be okay. But with a true major depressive episode, the appetite tends to decrease. And then we also see an activation of stress hormones. It seems strange to say it, but a person with major depression very often has high levels of adrenaline and cortisol in their body, pumping through their body. And so they're both uptight and don't have enough energy to get anything done. This is part of the biological aspect of major depression. Now, if you know somebody suffering with major depression, this radio program isn't going to be nearly enough. They need to go to a doctor. And a couple of things need to be checked out first. First, as we mentioned earlier, the thyroid hormone levels. Now, you know, the thyroid, it controls, you know, the hormone controls metabolism and other kinds of things like that. But if you don't have enough of that thyroid hormone, it can lead to all of the symptoms of major depression. And as we said, about 1 out of 5 people who are diagnosed as having major depression really is just a thyroid problem. So you want to get that checked out. Women are twice as likely to suffer from a major depressive episode as men. And one of the reasons, not the only one, but one of the reasons is that women have a whole different set of hormones that need to be checked. Women are more vulnerable to suffering from depression around the time of giving birth, around the time of their menstrual cycle, around menopause. And so that's a pretty good clue that those estrogen, progesterone levels, they need to be checked, both for the levels and for the ratios. So there are a number of pretty good docs around town that do that kind of blood work, and you really want to go check that. Also, nutrition plays a big role in this. You want to eat like an athlete. You want to eat well. Stop eating that junk food. If it comes in a cellophane wrapper, please stop eating it and eat like you're in training, because you need all those good proteins and all those good fats to get the brain working at full speed again. And of course, you want to talk to your doctor about whether or not medication can help you if you're going through a major depressive episode. Medication can help in about 40% of the cases just all by itself. But in that other 60% of the cases, really the healing for the wounds needs to take place. Really some healing from those past memories need to take place. Really nutritional interventions might be needed. Really there are a lot of other things that can be at play if you're suffering from major depression. I would encourage every pastor to become better equipped at understanding what depression is and what it's not, especially you youth pastors. What does depression look like in teenagers? It looks a little bit different than it does in adults. Please, you know, get up to speed on what major depressive episodes look like, both in teenagers and in adults. It's part of our ministry to people to be able to minister to them when they're suffering from depression. And as I said, about one out of six people that you know during the course of their lifetime will go through a major depressive episode. Let me just pray for you if you're dealing with depression, and just again recommend it's time to go see a doctor and maybe even find what's causing the depression. Father, please lead people who are dealing with this depression to someone who can help them. And Father, please reveal to them what the wounds are in their life that need to be healed. And then, Lord Jesus, please come and touch that place in their heart, right there in their soul, and heal those wounds. Lord Jesus, you said you came to set people free. Please set people free from their depression this day. Lord, this is my prayer, and I ask this in the name of the living Christ, our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh God, how I need.